November 4th, 2021, Planning and Zoning Meeting to Order. Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball?
Here.
I'm here. We have nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Center, are there any changes to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Mr.
Center. Second.
Seconded by Mr. McMahon. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda.
Point of order, Madam Chair. Shouldn't we swear Mr. Center before we allow him to speak?
Did we get his name and address for the record? Everyone should have received a copy of the October 21st, 2021 meeting minutes. Were there any changes or edits to those minutes?
Move to approve.
Oof, ma'am.
Ooh.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Stanton, seconded by Mr. McMahon. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the minutes. We have 8-4 and one abstention. Thank you. That brings us to our one and only case for the evening. It's a public hearing, case 318-2021, a request by McClure Engineering Company on behalf of Marshall and Sylvia Murray for approval of a two-lot final minor plat of an existing 4.9-acre parcel and another 0.5-acre parcel to be known as Hardy Plat 1, with an associated design adjustment to section 29-5.1D to waive sidewalk construction along the property's South Highway KK frontage. The subject site is located on the north side of South Highway KK, approximately 3,200 feet west of Scott Boulevard, and includes the address 5971 South Highway KK. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, this is a final plat. It's a final minor plat. It involves property that had not previously been subdivided within the city. Associated with that is a design adjustment, and it's a specific design adjustment. And we'll touch on this in a little bit, but it is for basically sidewalk waiver, specifically on an unimproved street. And for context here, unimproved generally means there are just no curb and gutter on the street, so it's basically just flat, right? So it is with the design adjustment, it's a public hearing. Public info postcards were sent out October 6th. It was advertised October 19th with 20 surrounding property owners. This is an aerial view of the site. You'll note a little bit of an odd configuration. It is a little hemmed in from the east, north, and partially, or all on the west, by city property. And then the one kind of island in the middle, you can see there's actually not within the city. It's actually an unincorporated county. So it's along Highway KK. You see on the south side of that subdivision to the north is Thornbrook. The existing site is configured right now with two parcels. They're combining those two parcels in general. And subdividing them into a two-lot subdivision, so it will create two legal lots for purposes of selling them or developing them in some manner. Alongside of the platting, they are dedicating an additional right-of-way for Route KK, which is identified as a major collector. One caveat with this is because they are single-family zoned, R1 zoned, along a collector, they are not permitted to get new driveway direct access to a collector. Generally, the standard there is you need to have a cul-de-sac or some development or some other way to accommodate direct access to minimize access points. So this site is restricted to that. There are other uses you can do in the R1, but right now There is no plan, in speaking with the applicant, to do single-family development on these on either of these lots at this time. Also associated with this request is a request for design adjustment 29.5.1D, and that is to waive sidewalk construction along the Route KK frontage, which is required generally with platting and or at the time of construction on the site. So with this specific request, it is for an unimproved street, and there's actually a specific council policy resolution that goes along with it that adds four additional standards to our typical design adjustment standards. And we'll be looking at those. And for these situations, usually those four standards really weigh very heavily on our decision on whether or not to grant that. And there's also, as part of that policy resolution, is the option to do a fee in lieu. So if the findings are that the sidewalk should be constructed at some point, it is appropriate on the site, but maybe not practical or feasible at this moment, we can require a fee in lieu of constructing them that would be paid to the city and held in escrow by the city until there's a project for that sidewalk in the future. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So this is this policy resolution just kind of went through. There's four factors really is cost relevant, relative to the development. There's a ratio there. Generally, what you want to see is a low ratio to total development in order to support the waiver. So in essence, if they're building a large single-family home there and they're spending $500,000 and the cost of the sidewalk is $10,000, well, the sidewalk portion of that is a pretty low portion of the development overall. Therefore, that would support asking them to build it. In this case, they really don't have too much development. They have suggested that maybe they'll build one small accessory structure on it, presumably after these properties have been transferred. So the cost ratio between the sidewalk, which they're estimating somewhere around the $20,000 mark, is almost half of what the improvements are on that site. So that would be something that would probably factor in the favor as far as waiving that construction. But we also are able to look at terrain, surrounding development, and pedestrian generators, which I'll touch on those factors a little more here in a second. And like I said, if sidewalks are warranted, they can either be constructed or fee in lieu. And right now, the current cost is $69 per linear foot of sidewalk. That's how we would calculate the fee in lieu, and that's based on city projects averaged over the last 2 years. Not to jump ahead, but staff's recommendation this time is going to be to concur with their findings that the construction isn't practical or feasible at this time, but we are going to recommend fee in lieu, and I'll kind of touch on why here as we go through these. And so given the kind of horseshoe shape of this, it's kind of hard to delineate exactly where the property is, but if you see in the upper left-hand corner, standing on KK looking back east, the western leg, which is the larger leg of the property that touches KK, is generally from the bottom of that picture where that driveway is to the far driveway in the background of the picture. So it's 200 and some feet. So basically from the public hearing sign to the next driveway. So looking at the terrain there, they do have some significant grade challenges. Basically everything going north from here, it dips off the edge of the curb, lack of curb, the edge of the roadway down into basically it's a drainage area. So the likelihood of construction there would be fairly expensive and require a fair amount of fill and probably some additional structures along with the actual construction of the sidewalk. So as we're moving up the road, on the picture in the bottom right, again, you can see that's the far driveway. So that's where the property that might have sidewalk would begin. And then there's a property on the other side of that driveway that goes up the hill about to the tree line edge, if you could see in the background again, about where that telephone pole is. So that's the start of the second leg, the eastern leg of the property. There is a gap in the middle, which is part of our rationale for saying that the feasibility and the usability of the sidewalks is going to be challenging. So if we jump ahead, we can look. Lost a slide there. So I had two more slides there, or two more pictures there, that basically showed a little closer than what I have in the bottom right, but essentially the tree line there, about 100 feet up the hill, about halfway up to the apex of that hill, is the next portion where sidewalks would possibly be constructed. And you see there the grade is kind of the opposite. It goes pretty steeply up the hill after it goes down into a ditch. So they do have some grade challenges there. And this is kind of just a broad aerial shot to, again, show the areas where the sidewalks would be constructed. If you can see the two blue arrows in the roadway, that represents roughly about the sections that this platting would require the sidewalks to be constructed at. So you can see the house in the middle, that's the gap that's actually not in the city where there wouldn't be a connection. And I mentioned this in the report. There is sidewalk connectivity very close to this, but there's a one-lot gap going to the east. So it wouldn't immediately connect even if they did build the eastern portion, although they're very close. And if they can make the connection to that in the future, that gets them into the broader sidewalk network that gets them all the way down to Scott and again, goes quite farther. So speaking of terrains, they did submit a land analysis map that shows a little bit better the grades there. So you can see these are two-foot contour lines. So in the western portion there, you can see it goes down into the ravine there. And on the eastern leg, you can see there's a pretty good steep. And over that 100 feet, it drops. I forget what exactly the numbers were, but basically it's about a 17% grade, which is a fairly steep grade. And since they're not doing any proposed work here, that grade wouldn't be able to have the opportunity to level that out. And really to level that out, they'd have to go into the adjacent property to accomplish that as well. Something that would probably be a little more appropriate with a bigger road project that would grade this in a better fashion to allow sidewalks further down. So speaking of, to kind of go back to talk about those four criteria again, to when we're evaluating basically a sidewalk waiver in this situation for an unimproved street, one of those was the cost proportional to the development costs. And again, we said that ratio is pretty high compared to what they're improving there. They're not really spending a lot of money there to build something. So the cost of the project, more of it would be the sidewalk than really anything else. The other one of those is the topographic challenges. And as I've kind of talked about and shown with the land analysis map here, they do have a lot of drainage areas and steep slopes that would cause a bit of a challenge to construct it right now. They also have the problem with gaps in the sidewalk. So even if they did build the sidewalk on these two portions, the usability of that is going to be pretty hampered. There's not too many people who are going to come off the roadway, given that there is basically drainage ditches because it's an unimproved street, to use the sidewalk to come back off, to go down a little further east, to climb up the hill to get to the sidewalk, and then to walk across a property where the gap is to get to the farther one in Thornbrook. The usability of that is probably fairly limited. One of the other factors, though, is the sidewalk located on in an undeveloped area on a local street? So this is definitely not a local street. If it was on a local street, a low-traffic local street, that would be a factor we consider to support a waiver because it is low traffic. People can walk in the street. It's not as much of a safety concern. This is identified as a major collector. So they definitely don't meet that standard. We would agree though, it is probably a low volume, but the key factor in that one is that it is not a local street. It is a major collector. So sometime in the future, it is going to be designed to carry a lot more traffic. Excuse me. And the last thing is, are there generators in the area? And there's an elementary school within a half mile. So we think that's a very key part of the discussion when we're looking at those factors. I kind of briefly talked about the UDC factors. Again, we really rely a little more on the policy factors than the UDC factors here and standards. But in general, if the recommendation was for fee in lieu, we would consider that to be consistent with most of these standards in that they're meeting that obligation somehow. They're not constructing it, but they're still meeting that financial obligation. But in general, sidewalks, we think, are consistent with the comp plan, and lack of sidewalks is a bit of a health and safety issue. So that generally would not comply with most of the UDC standards. This is not necessarily a unique site factor. When it comes to unimproved streets, you do a lot of times see grade being the issue because the street and the right-of-way have not been graded to accommodate a roadway with a wider right-of-way that would be able to facilitate sidewalk construction. This one may have a little bit of unique circumstances with the kind of drainage right next to the roadway, though. I would kind of acquiesce to that. That position, but in general, with a fee in lieu, we feel like they do meet the standards. But if it was a full waiver, we feel like, given the two big factors there, one, their proximity to the school, two, their proximity to the greater sidewalk network, just a couple lots to the east, while the feasibility and practicality of it being built now is challenging, the financial obligation we think is still important. There could be a project from the city in the future, although there is not currently a CIP project to do any improvements here. So with that, our recommendation right now is denial of their request, which is a full waiver. So no sidewalk construction, no fee in lieu. Alternatively, our recommendation, or what we would present as an alternative recommendation that the P&Z can consider, is that a fee in lieu would be recommended instead. Given, though, that the sidewalk is not reflected on the plat, we are recommending approval of the final plat. We would recommend two votes on that. And I would point out again that P&Z, even if they, depending, no matter what they voted on the design adjustment for the sidewalk, the plat could be approved even if you denied the design adjustment, because it doesn't fundamentally change the design of the subdivision. There is a note on there that allows them to fill in of the approval of the design adjustment, but I think that could just be struck out if that was not the case. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Planner Smith. Before we move on to questions for staff, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte related to this case to please share that with the commission now, so the commission has the benefit of all the information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planner Smith, what's the linear foot on the roadway footage? What, 300 feet-ish?
I think we calculated it 260. That was something we're going to confer with the applicant to come with a final number on the distance. That way we can calculate accurately the cost. But it was roughly going to be an $18,000 fee in lieu. Yep.
Between 18 and
about 18,000, yeah.
And could you please return to the photographs that you personally took? That showed the grade, there we go. And the right-of-way surrender is 3 feet, is that correct?
Correct.
And, okay, which isn't gonna make anything else.
Be approximately 33 feet from the center line of the road there.
Can you tell us, and if you don't know, maybe I can ask Mitch sometime, what's CATSO's take on this road in the future?
Other than it's a major collector, No specific take. We didn't present it to them for their input or recommendation on it.
They don't have, its status hasn't changed, if I can recall. It's been a while since I dug deeply into that, but.
Not recently.
Okay. Those are the things I wanted to know. Thank you, Planner Smith.
Any additional questions for staff? Commissioner Carroll.
This is looking really familiar to me. Is this the same replat that we saw back in April of last year?
I believe that is correct, and it was withdrawn.
Okay. Did that have the same design adjustment request with it?
If it had moved forward, I imagine it would have.
That covers my questions for now.
Commissioner Placer.
Just out of curiosity, do you know when this strangely shaped area was annexed?
Not off the top of my head, but I could find that probably here in short order. It was. I want to say it was annexed roughly around the same time as Thornbrook, so it was about 2000, maybe 1998. I would have to look at the exact date, though. I can get that.
But at the time, the decision was that it did not include that central county that is kind of the issue, and I guess we can't do anything about that.
Oh, the center piece?
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily the history there. I do know the owner of the piece in the middle is the same owner as the one that surrounds it, and I do have it here that the piece in question was annexed in 2001.
Thank you.
Commissioner Galway-Jones.
Given the stream buffer and the ravine running through this property, in your opinion, is it buildable as an R1 lot?
I think there is potential there, but it would be challenging. I think just accessing the portion of lot one that is buildable would be difficult. I think the gentleman who owns it would probably need to restructure it so that there's better access for all of those. From my conversations with the applicant, and this isn't necessarily something they're held to, but that's not really the long-term plan for the piece. But yeah, there's challenge there. The majority of the site is in the stream buffer, so there would be difficulties there in finding a spot where you can construct. But it's probably feasible. They do a lot of things that I don't think are possible sometimes. So
fair enough. Thank you,
Commissioner Rushing.
So I'm not sure I'm understanding the purpose of this request. Do you?
Well, beyond the desire to create a subdivision with plats that are legal lots, there's nothing specific that they're required to tell us. The objective typically with that is for the sale of the property. You're not legally able to sell property within the city after it's been annexed unless it is properly subdivided.
Okay.
And developed. You can't build on something unless it's considered a legal lot. And some R1 lots do have exceptions where you don't have to actually subdivide it, but generally with this one, since it is kind of a remnant.
That is helpful. Thank you.
Planner Smith, the sidewalk on the westernmost Thornbrook lot that didn't get built, Is that not shown on their master plan? I mean,
I did look at the preliminary and the final plat for that. Did not find any information about sidewalks being waived. Aside from that, I did not dig into that any deeper. Probably be something at the building permit stage and level. So, but there was nothing formal that I could find that waived the requirement. So. Unfortunately, it may have been something that was missed. I can't confirm that. There may be a reason, but I didn't investigate it beyond looking at the final plat to see if there had been a waiver.
So it is. How difficult would it be to complete that section?
From a financing standpoint, I mean, there would need to be money allocated to that, and if there was money allocated here, that potentially could be done. From the standpoint of physically building it, it would need to, I think, come within some sort of project that Public Works would want to put forward, and you know, that's potentially could be done, but it would probably it's unlikely that they'd do it on a lot by lot basis. You know, it's probably something that they would look at as a longer project all the way down KK perhaps. So, but right now I have no indication that that's in the works or anything. But having the money and the fee in lieu,
right,
allows it to be used if that does come along within the next period.
We own the right of way, or okay, Commissioner Carroll.
This may be a better question for the applicant, but I might ask you both. So fee in lieu is $69 per linear foot, based on 260 foot frontage. I'm getting about $17,000.
Maybe 280 feet. I forget the exact number on the frontage. It's on the plat, okay. So I'll double check.
So based on your staff report, the owner estimated cost was about $24,000. That difference in cost, is that because of the grade or is there something else?
No, so their estimate was likely their actual cost to them to build it. So the fee in lieu is
right.
A very specific
right.
formula.
I'm trying to account for what the difference between the fee and the actual cost is.
Well, the fee, again, is an average of the city
right.
projects.
So they this might would take likely cost more because of the grade?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, if the city actually has come out and build it, it is likely that it could cost more than that $69. But that is what the policy has set forth
yeah.
that we would charge.
Commissioner McMahon.
Just a point of order to address Commissioner Carroll's question. I've actually addressed this question with City Legal. 85 would be a much more realistic number. When I lived on Hubble, the sidewalks cost about $125 a linear foot without this much. This is topographically challenging. Up the hill you can cut. Downhill, you're going to have to change the grade, change the flow, and then build. I appreciate the difficulties. It may be well over $150 in certain places. I think 69 is too low, but I've yet to win that battle with City Legal. they use this average over time.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open up the floor to public comment. If you have any public comment, please give your name and address for the record.
Michael Hall with McClure Engineering, 1901 Pennsylvania Avenue here in Columbia. Would you mind taking to the parcel viewer view? I want to kind of reference a few points on that. No, the one that actually shows the lot lines. You had one prior to it. Yes, that's close enough for my this is a little bit older of a aerial view, just to give a little bit of point of reference for all the commissioners. When we're talking about additional developable area and potential for extension of sidewalks, I'd like to point out a few things. Immediately on the western property line, there's an existing small structure, and all these houses are on the are outside of city limits. There's an existing small structure right immediately there on the west property line. As you continue around the corner, there is some new homes that have recently been constructed, large lot homes that have been built immediately adjacent to that, and you'll see the horizontal line along there where it's a little bit of a tree cut after you come around the curve. That's kind of where the that developable area stops, where then there have been two homes built there within the last, I think they were building in the last 2 years. And again, you also have an existing rural subdivision on the south side of the road that is existing, as well as there's a large home originally built by Mr. Tompkins along the inside corner there. With all due respect, I do feel like the extension of a sidewalk is highly, of all the areas in town in the city of Columbia, I think that the probability is highly small. The other thing I'd like to point out when it comes to the sidewalks and all of the discussion, this is not a city street. This is a state highway. This is Highway KK, although it's a supplemental, very, very low priority road, unless the city would like to take over more roads and get it from MoDOT. I would highly venture that unless there was a development that would cause the road to be improved, it's not going to get improved anytime soon. Just, again, you can take that as opinion, but I would I'd like for it to be considered as a professional opinion. As far as the sidewalks, the $69 per foot and the fee in lieu, that percentage is still extremely high considering what's being, you know, could be proposed. These are not going to have homes built on either one of these lots. The potential is for a small outbuilding at some point to be put on the lot to the west. And, you know, you're talking about maybe a $40,000 structure, and we're talking about another $20,000 just in sidewalk fee and lieu alone. And I would also agree with Mr. McMahon when he was referencing sidewalk costs. This particular lot is way, way more complicated than just building sidewalk. You're talking not just grade changes, but you're talking storm structures, because there's the outfall, the main discharge from the lake at Thornbrook runs through this area and is part of this plat action, and it goes under the road right there. One other point of reference, this is really a plat that's going to benefit the city in multiple ways. It's cleaning up a very nasty remnant parcel that was never really done the way it should have been done in the first place. And in one other significant piece is the fact that the city of Columbia has a lift station sitting there with no easement for the electric that goes to it right now, and this rectifies that. So this, there is an easement that's being provided with this plat action to get the electric, there's overhead electric lines that come from Route KK back to the city lift station. Clint, you may be able to go back to, so if you see in there, and I don't think we shot the actual pump station itself, but there's all kinds of sewers and so forth, gravity sewers that come in and then a force main that leaves. Thank you. That's a good way to represent it. And the existing road there is an access road back to the easement, back to the lift station that comes off of Rod KK. There's no easement there. So basically there's easement for the sewers, there's easement for the lift station structure itself, but not for the overhead power lines. They're not on easement, or at least partially not on easement. And this rectifies and closes that error, I guess is the best way.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Are you willing to take any questions?
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to take any questions from anybody.
Commissioner Galway-Jones.
Did I understand correctly that the single-family home in the cutout portion is the same owner?
Yes, that's, Mr. Murray owns that.
Okay. You know, you mentioned cleaning up an oddly shaped and weird parcel, and I agree. I think one of these lots is essentially unusable.
Correct.
Why are we not also talking about annexing and combining?
Mr. Murray does
three?
Not want his house to be annexed into the city of.
But he wants to annex his other properties into
they're
the city.
Already inside
they're
the
already
city.
In the city.
Yes, that is accurate.
He wants to combine them to make them saleable.
That is accurate, or at least have the option to do so.
And do you agree with Planner Smith and my personal assessment that Lot 1, as described, is probably not usable for a structure other than an outbuilding?
That is accurate, yes.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Any other questions? I think as far as some more information on the sidewalk, but I'm happy to answer any other questions you guys may have.
Any additional questions for the speaker? Commissioner Burns.
Yeah, fee in lieu was mentioned.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that option?
Under the option of fee in lieu, the applicant does not feel like it's appropriate because, again, we're looking at the potential for maybe a $40,000 upper end outbuilding to be constructed. That's another 50% add-on for sidewalk for fee in lieu. And I just don't see the sidewalk network ever being done in probably my lifetime. Because of what I, and that's kind of a preference, that's why I kind of led in with some of the other development that's occurred, because in order for the sidewalk to be contiguous and to continue along, there would have to be that one small house that's on a very small lot that's landlocked to be redeveloped. The other homes that were just constructed, large lot on a, you know, over an acre in size in the county, something would have to be changed with that as well. And you'd have to be looking at a large capital improvement by most likely MoDOT, maybe the City of Columbia, in an area where there's just not a whole lot of traffic demand. Even though the classification is accurate, and I do not dispute the fact that this is the classification, that is 100% accurate.
Just to follow up, you indicated that there were, as we continued down KK and turned the corner, there had been a development recently.
In the county, there's been a couple
in
homes.
In the county, okay.
Yeah, so it's all in the county. Again, the western line there that you see is city limit line, okay? I actually live in Steeplechase, which is where you see the excavation and the dirt, and so I'm personally very familiar with this area. And so There is, like I said, there's a couple homes that were, this was, that were, have been recently constructed back there.
I guess my thought is if there is construction that's occurring and might occur in the future, connectivity could be important as far as a sidewalk network.
But they're already done, and they were done outside of the county, and they were done on large lots. So it, you are, your question has validity. I don't dispute that, but it's not going to happen because it's already done, I guess is my point.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner McMahon.
Well, we're on this point, and I'm in construction. I'm sympathetic to your situation. I also, honestly, a little tired of waving sidewalks. I would remind the commission, this is a point of order, I'm not necessarily asking you a question, is that Scott used to be a state road, and it had almost every characteristic that we're describing here. And we waited and we waited and waited. We got the road, and we developed it, and we built the sidewalks. Unbuildable property, as Mr. Smith has brought out. Some of you are familiar with Chapel Hill. If you drive down Chapel Hill, when you get towards the bottom near Twin Lakes, maybe a little past there, there's now a senior facility there. They had to cut that out of there with dynamite because it was unbuildable lot, and now it's a buildable lot. I would disagree with your assessment about in our lifetimes. Money talks a lot. This is a very valuable piece of property were it to be buildable. I'll save the rest of my comment towards the end when we get to some discussions because I wanted to get my fellow commissioner. I just want to bring that up while we're on this.
Additional questions for the speaker.
I had a follow-up question for staff. So now that the satellite image has been up for a while, I'm looking at the area directly across from Villawood Court. Is that a sidewalk right there? I didn't see it when I drove because it's screened by some trees. Is that a private sidewalk or a city sidewalk?
No, and excuse me for not pointing that out a little more in detail. There is sidewalk along the north side of Route KK.
That's a city sidewalk.
It is a city sidewalk. It was built with the Thornbrook subdivision. There is a one lot gap though between where it terminates and where this property is. This is a little dated. If I use the city aerial, it would probably show a little more of the sidewalk built out, but in general, that's the location. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a public sidewalk, yes.
Thanks.
Any additional questions for the speaker? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your questions.
Any additional speakers?
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Caleb Colbert, attorney at 827 East Broadway. And I'm actually here tonight on behalf of the proposed buyer of Lot 2 out of the subdivision, so I can fill in a little bit of the background or the context on what we're proposing here. Ultimately, my client is proposing to buy Lot 2 and locate an outbuilding in the northwest corner of Lot 2. As mentioned, as Mike mentioned, as Mr. Smith mentioned, and I know it's been discussed, that we submitted a land analysis map as part of this application. Lot 1 has steep slopes located, you know, over a large portion of that lot. Lot 2 has a stream buffer that does eat up a large chunk of that. In addition, as to the question of what can we build on this lot, there is, as was discussed, a city sewer lift station located right in the middle of what is proposed to be Lot 2. So we can't build a subdivision over city sewer infrastructure. So this is never going to be built out as any kind of subdivision. And as noted in the staff report, we can't have driveway access directly onto KK. Single family residential driveway access is definitely limited. So actually I'm gonna jump in and hand out an exhibit if you don't mind. So again, the context on this request is my client proposes to build an outbuilding. That outbuilding, he does believe, will be in the ballpark of $40,000 cost to construct. I'll wait for those to get distributed.
Off the presses, they don't.
That's
want
right. Thank you. So, when my client contacted me about this question of, you know, are sidewalks required? The first thing I did is I went to the UDC in section 29-5.1, which deals with sidewalks. And I agree with the city staff that the fact that KK is a collector is the trigger for a sidewalk requirement. But if you look at the language that I have highlighted and underlined in subsection 2, there's an exception for construction of an accessory structure. And that is exactly what my client proposes to build on lot 2. So at least as to lot 2, we believe the sidewalk requirement doesn't even apply. So we would respectfully ask the commission, you know, to take that into account, because we're not proposing new single-family residential construction. This is the first step in what will be ultimately the construction of an accessory building to his lot, which is located in Thornbrook. My client owns property that is directly adjacent to this lot. But if you disagree with our interpretation of the code, we still think that it would be appropriate to waive the requirement to build sidewalks and the requirement to provide a fee in lieu. And ultimately, that does come down to the cost. As noted, we expect sidewalk construction to cost somewhere around the ballpark of $24,000, the fee in lieu to be in the ballpark of $18,000. We respectfully think that that is disproportionate to what we propose to build on the site. Again, a $40,000 structure. If you look at the policy resolution that is part of the packet for tonight, section 1 says the city council shall review each request for a sidewalk variance along an unimproved street in the context that there must be, quote, a reasonable relationship between the proposed activity of a landowner and the requirement that the landowner construct a sidewalk. So I'd ask the commission, what is that relationship here? We can't build a driveway that connects to KK. We're proposing to build a shed that, or an outbuilding that is tied to a lot in Thornbrook. So respectfully, we don't believe that there is any relationship between what we're proposing and the requirement to build sidewalks. And when you take the cost into account, again, it's a $40,000 structure, it seems disproportionate to trigger an obligation to pay nearly $20,000. And whether it is a fee in lieu or the cost of construction, either way, my client is ultimately having to write a check for that. So in our mind, a fee in lieu is not really an appropriate alternative to actually building the sidewalks. Either way, it cost our client more than what it is worth at the end of the day. But with that, I would be happy to answer any questions. Mr. McMahon. Sorry. I'm here too often.
Mr. Colbert has executed a coup.
Yeah.
I do have questions, Madam Chair. May I proceed?
Please.
Ms. Colbert, I'm going to rake you over the coals, and I'm going to give you another way out.
Sure.
All right? When Thornbrook was originally platted, the undeveloped lots were $75,000-ish apiece. This is 4.9 acres. What do you think it's worth?
I don't have any idea, but you also have to take into account that there is a stream buffer.
I appreciate that.
And there is a sewer lift station that is, it basically eats up 3/4 of lot 2. So what is it worth to you to own real estate that you can't use?
I've often wondered that, but yet you and I see that every day. And we actually spent 2 hours discussing that very thing. There was a mention earlier by the gentleman behind you that the city needs an easement.
That's correct.
To access their property. Can you tell me what discussions have gone on in regard to that easement? Is there any progress? What's the status? Do they have
to? I think the easement is dedicated on the plat.
Correct.
Right. So the discussion essentially was from city staff that in order to move
this. Does your client feel that the surrendering of that easement would cover any sidewalk?
Absolutely. I mean, I think ultimately if we're conveying an easement to the city, there's some value there.
Well, everyone would convey it, though, you know, in this situation. Okay, we're going to have some talking to do,
okay.
All of us together. That's all the questions I have at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner McMahon. Any additional questions for the speaker? Commissioner Galway-Jones.
So there's a difference between a building permit and a permanent waiver on a plat. You are asking for a permanent waiver on a plat. The exception you pointed out is on a building permit. So in fact, this requirement would not necessarily be triggered if you applied for a building permit for an accessory building. So you're not going to have to write a check immediately upon purchase and approval. You'll have to write a check if you apply for a building permit.
Is that city staff's interpretation? That if we apply for a building permit for an accessory structure, we will not be required to build sidewalks?
No, because there's actually, our interpretation is there's actually two separate requirements going on here, and we didn't dive into those specifics, but one is a requirement to build it on a collector with the exception that accessory structures won't. But the other requirement, which trumps everything, is that when you plat, you build sidewalks.
You plat, build sidewalks.
Right, that's
again,
a requirement.
This exception that you're pointing out has nothing to do with the plat, which is the request that's before us. So it's a bit disingenuous to bring this to us and say we're requiring you to do something you're not required to do when this is not the request that you're talking about. Because this would be, you see what I'm saying? This is about when you get your building permit, you're waived for an accessory building. You're asking for a permanent waiver on a permanent plat that would apply to everything forever and beyond.
And again, from our view, Section 29-5.1 applies both at the platting and the building permit process. And I don't necessarily agree that if you grant this now, it is a permanent waiver. Well, I guess I take that back. It would be a permanent waiver, but we would be comfortable with including this language on the plat, I believe.
I am just pointing out to you that you gave this to us and told us that our staff was wrong in their interpretation, when in fact the exception you're pointing out is about building permits, not platting actions.
And I certainly appreciate that feedback.
Thank you.
Commissioner Rushing.
I just wanted, out of curiosity, I'm assuming that your client's property is the property to the west.
To the northwest.
Northwest. Oh, that one? The smaller property?
The larger parcel, if I'm not incorrect, Mr. Colbert, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Orsland tract.
That's correct.
That's the Orsland estate.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner.
Any additional questions, Ms. Rushing? Commissioner Burns.
Thank you. Not that we're there yet, but does your client have a preference if they would have to build the sidewalk or pay the fee in lieu?
Well, I think the preference would be the fee in lieu, but ultimately, again,
we have our discussion.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Zinner.
Just have one question, and it may be germane to the commission, but I think it says germane to us as staff, because the process moving forward here may get even more complicated. If I understand what Mr. Colbert has indicated is his client, who the plat is named after, is in that northwest corner, the small lot. They are wanting to purchase lot number two, so they can build an accessory structure on the lot. An accessory structure cannot be built without a principal structure being on the property. And a building permit cannot be built without having a legal lot, or a building permit cannot be issued without a legal lot, which goes to Ms. Galway's point that you have two different issues here. You got to create a legal lot, which is what's triggering the necessity for a sidewalk on a collector. And then if you get your legal lot created and you build an accessory structure, possibly you don't have a sidewalk because of the other provision. So my question to Mr. Colbert, to the commission, is how do you intend on handling the transfer of Lot 2 to the Hardy Tract? Are you going to attempt to do that through a subdivision action, or are you going to attempt to build a accessory structure over a property line?
The intention would be to come back with another plat that combines those lots.
Which, if the commission should desire to waive the sidewalk on the smaller lot or not even include that as a condition at this point, meaning that the sidewalk would be required to be built on Lot 1, you will get an opportunity to be able to require the sidewalk on Lot 2 when it comes back to be combined with the property off of the Thornbrook Access Road.
That's presuming that it wouldn't classify as being processed as an admin plat.
It won't.
Commissioner McMahon.
More than 200 feet front, 120
this
feet front.
This may also be a question for Ms. Thompson, and this will probably be a question for Mr. Colbert, who's ever standing in his stead at the time. I can see us hearing the argument, well, you didn't require one in the first place. Not that Mr. Colbert would ever make that argument the second time around, and we don't think we should do it now. I have another question for someone on staff, and I don't know if you guys remember or not. We talked about the differentiation about when the check is cut, so to speak. Do we actually know when the check is cut? Because we've had several in my 5 years here, whatever, we've had several times where someone was said, hey, you're going to have to write us a check. Do we know when that actually happens?
I would expect before council would execute the plat and send it for recording. So that needs to be done basically at the time that council approves it. No later than.
And I would just state that the resolution, the policy resolution actually speaks to when those payments have to be made.
Okay, I just wonder, because council usually says, when they say yes, I just don't know when the check makes the transfer, like when the building permit's issued or, you know, what.
When it's approved with the final plat, it has to be made prior to issuance of the first building permit.
Okay. All right. Now we know more. Thank you very much.
Any additional questions? Commissioner Stanton.
Just a point of clarification. So, Mr. Zenner, are you essentially saying that basically they're going to create a ADU in a big, long backyard? Is that basically their intent long run?
Well, I think, as Mr. Colbert pointed out, it's a storage building, an accessory structure, not necessarily a dwelling unit to our knowledge. Okay. But yes, that would be what would be on Lot 2. What this aerial does not show, since it is dated, there is a very large pool sitting in the southwest corner or southeast corner of Mr. Hardy's lot at this point, to which the storage building most likely is probably associated with for pool paraphernalia and any other things that he can't fit in his garage. Mr. Smith pointed out that if it is processed as an administrative plat, the issue of the sidewalk, if not resolved with the initial platting of this property to create a legal lot for purposes of transfer and combination, it would be processed administratively. It does not require administrative plats, do not require council action. So that does further put the importance of the sidewalk either being a fee in lieu of or being required to be built at this time. With this platting action as it's presented this evening, most likely, because the requirements for an admin plat would be a combination of two or more lots, or the exclusion would be for it to not be able to be qualifying as an admin plat is two or more lots with more than 120 feet on a single frontage. And this, the parcel in question for the Hardy plat that's in Thornbrook right now is likely not 120 feet, and the frontage along KK is likely not either. So it would qualify. It's no greater than two lots. And that would be the concern that Mr. Smith was pointing out. So I just want to make clear that there may be no additional review. And even if there was a final plat to be reviewed, your approval of this plat this evening, regardless of how you choose to do it, creates a legal lot. The lot that's in Thornbrook is a legal lot. And under the replatting provisions of the UDC, you do not see replats that are of legal subdivisions. You only see replats that were not previously presented to the Planning Commission. And in this particular instance, this would fulfill the latter. Both of them would have been shown in plats presented to the commission. So it goes directly to City Council at that point.
Additional questions? I see none. Right. Thank you, Mr. Colbert. If there aren't any additional public comments, we'll close public comments. Commission comment. Commissioner McMahon.
My thinking off the top of my head is what I would like to do is to make a motion to approve the final plat, deny the design adjustment, and ask for the fee in lieu of. I realize that it won't be seen again. That's one reason I want to do that. Number two, our clients have the ability and the wherewithal to get another bite at the apple with council. And I think that may be the best way forward. And it is my hope that our council persons read these minutes and watch this video. I just tell you guys where I'm at on this.
Commissioner Galway-Jones.
I don't like any of this. I think this is a way of creating what is essentially a landlocked R1 lot that could be buildable with a home in the, what is that, northeast corner, lot one, as opposed to lot two, which is the lot they're actually trying to sell, where they have a buyer and a use and everything. But there's no, with that little piece of county land and an owner who does not want to be in the city limits but wants to sell the rest of his property in a way that makes it less than usable, I am very concerned that we are setting ourselves up for seeing this property back here over and over and over again as people need various and sundry adjustments because we've created a lot with serious challenges. Yeah, but even the way you would have to get to there, you've either got a driveway and a stream buffer, or you've got a very narrow driveway, and either way, they're both on KK, which you can't do. So, I mean, we are creating a situation where whoever wants to have lot one and use it is going to have serious design challenges because of how we're approving this plat. And I'm very aware that I'm probably in the minority opinion on this, but I don't think that's good public policy to set up a piece of property in such a way that someone who wants to use it for building a home, whatever, is walking into it with challenges we created. If they're challenges that exist because of topographics and whatever, fine. But if we created it by creating a plat that's got weird access issues, I don't feel comfortable okaying that. And talk me down, but that's where my head's at now. And I certainly am not comfortable with continuing to waive sidewalks just because they're not likely to be heavily used today. That's where I'm at.
So I've brought forth cases to different planning and zoning councils that were puzzle pieces based on family and co-owner situations, which the surveyor said you could never sell these properties. And the intent was not to sell. The intent was very personal. And I'm not sure how we would have proceeded should the Planning and Zoning Commission not have approved our proposal. We are not creating the layout. The applicant has created the layout. They are simply asking us for approval. And if it meets the technical requirements, based on my personal experience with needing to deal with land issues, I will approve it because I know they're bringing it, they have derived it based on their needs. However, I agree with you that because they've created a parcel that may or may not allow or make the best use for the requirement for sidewalks, that's another issue. And I'm not going to waive the sidewalk issue in an area that I believe will need sidewalks within not many years. So they can lay out the land as they desire, but I still see sidewalks as being a necessity. Additional comments? Commissioner Burns.
I agree with Commissioner Lowe and Commissioner McMahon as far as that we have a request before us, we have a report before us. We're talking about a design adjustment, and I think that's what we should focus on. And I agree that we should deny the design adjustment, and we either go with the fee in lieu or the sidewalks and cross the other bridges as they come before us.
Commissioner Carroll?
I agree with what's been stated by the majority of the commissioners I've heard from tonight. I'm also not inclined to waive the sidewalks. Also, given that it's unlikely that Route KK is going to be expanded in the near future, improved in the near future, it's unlikely that the sidewalk would need to be torn up or moved in the near future. I am inclined to require the sidewalk as opposed to a fee in lieu. The connectivity is significant. There are other sidewalks nearby, and the cost for fee in lieu doesn't cover the actual cost for the sidewalk that the city would have to build if it chooses to, which may be down the road quite a bit.
Commissioner Stanton?
I have a question for staff. Do I have to deny the adjustment if I want the fee in lieu?
All right, good question. I was going to come back around to that, and my recommendation doesn't get into what your recommendation should probably be worded as, but anything that waives the sidewalk actual construction is a design adjustment. So what they're asking for is just a straight design adjustment. My recommendation is design adjustment so they don't have to build it, but with a fee in lieu, right? So that's the difference there. So there could be three recommendations, and one is just approval of the plat and a denial of the design adjustment, which would be then to construct it, right? So if you don't want the sidewalk built, then the design adjustment needs to be part of the motion. If you want the fee in lieu, you need to add that too.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
If you want to do the fee in lieu, my recommendation would be to grant the design adjustment from it having to install the sidewalk. So you'd grant the design adjustment with the condition that they pay the fee in lieu.
That's cleaner. That's much cleaner.
You have to take action on the design adjustment to either approve with fee in lieu or deny, because we have a separate report that's being processed for the design adjustment, which is what that aspect of it deals with, and you have the final plat. So as I think Ms. Thompson has recommended, the cleanest way to deal with the adjustment based on the discussion we have heard is to recommend approval of the design adjustment with payment of a fee in lieu.
So I would say with approval of the design adjustment with the condition that they pay a fee in lieu of constructing the sidewalk pursuant to policy resolution 48-06A.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Mr. Stanton.
That's what I wanted to say right there. So, as counsel has suggested, so.
Are you making a motion?
Yes, that motion right there.
We're making a motion. All right. Mr. Stanton has, just to re-clarify, has moved to.
As it relates to case.
Approve. Okay, let's back up.
So,
as it relates to case 318-2021, I move to approve the design adjustment.
With the condition.
With the condition of a fee in lieu for future construction of that sidewalk.
For PR 48-06A.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Commissioner Galway Jones.
I am curious. I am curious to know if we vote this down. So if I, like Commissioner Carroll, which I do, I would rather see the sidewalk built, and we vote no on this, then the follow-up motion will be to just deny the adjustment. So this isn't our only option. We vote on this one, depending on how this vote turns out, we may or may not vote on the straight denial. I just wanted to clarify that because
that'd be correct.
I don't know where everyone is, but.
No, good discussion. I'm going to support this because it appears there are other pieces of the sidewalk that need to be done, and I think it's a more constructive path forward for getting the whole project done. Mr. McMahon?
Two things. Even though this property might not have any immediate value to anyone off of KK, it certainly already has value to people to the northwest and potentially to the east. While I do agree with Ms. Galway Jones' point, and this goes to maybe a follow-up motion, which we may or may not get to, and Ms. Carroll's point that the $69 a linear foot would be insufficient. It'd be my supposition that sidewalks would come to this area once the road was improved, and that road approval would take up a lot of the engineering beforehand, and $69 would be closer to it. Thank you.
Additional comments? Commissioner Stanton.
I think this is a win-win and covers as much of what we all want as possible. We got money on the table. It's benefiting the client, and still got money for a sidewalk. Big man is right. The engineering for the road and stuff is be baked in. I think that'd be a good price after they do all that. And if they build it now, I don't think it's going to be maintained well enough. By the time it gets to doing the road, that sidewalk's going to be screwed up anyway.
Additional comments? Commissioner Carroll?
As I understand it, there's no plans to improve the road in the near future. I don't know. I've required sidewalks in similar requests and I'd prefer to be consistent.
Any additional comments? If not, Commissioner Placer.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty obvious thing that there would not be any sidewalk in front of that center lot because it's in the county. And so we have no power. Oh, so there'll be two sections of stranded sidewalk. And at this point in time, it doesn't seem to make sense to me.
I think you're right.
Final comments? Ms. Carroll, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
No.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
No.
My vote is no. We have 6 votes to approve and 3 to deny. The motion carries.
Okay, and we need a second motion on this case. Commissioner McMahon?
The matter of case 3182021, Hardy Plat number 1, approval of the final minor plat. I move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please, Ms. Carroll.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
No.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
No.
My vote is yes. We have 7 votes to approve and 2 to deny. The motion carries.
Recommendation for approval on both motions will be forwarded to City Council.
And just for a point of order, due to the fact that the first motion under the design adjustment was not approved by 75% of the seated commission, it is under old business, which means both items will appear under old business, so they are joined together, even though they'll be in 2 separate reports.
That concludes our hearings for the evenings. Thank you. Any additional public comments? Seeing none. Staff comments.
And I won't do a mic drop this time. You do have a November 18th meeting. It does have a little bit more than tonight, but it may go faster. There are a total of 3 cases, of which 1 is our text change we talked about this evening as it relates to the parking ratio for automobile service facilities. And then we have 2 other projects that are both planned districts. Tacos for Life, so if you like Mexican, come on. This is behind Magadoodles. It is the last out parcel there on the corner of Buddenwood Carter and Green Meadows. And then we have a new PD project planned down at Discovery Park called The Kitchen, which is a 7-lot preliminary plat shown on the PD acreage there at the southwest corner of Nakona and Endeavor. This has an outdoor event center associated with it, indoor-outdoor event center, and then a conglomeration of additional future land uses that would go to the site. This will likely have some additional statement of intent revision, given that the outdoor entertainment venue is something that we will have to address. And then, of course, some site planning issues for the PD plan itself, since we don't have one there. And this is a revision, actually, of a project that we had originally seen initially that was tied in with the property immediately to the east of it that was withdrawn after the commission had heard that project. So there are some design changes that have resulted. So you can familiarize yourself with the properties. Our East Green Meadows property, Tacos for Life, there behind McAdoodles. And then our the kitchen project there down at Discovery in that southwest corner. And then our text change, which is citywide as it relates to where the use is permitted. That is all we have for the agenda. We will be discussing at our next work session a continuation, I believe, of short-term rental for your second meeting in November. And at this point, tentatively scheduled for discussion at your meeting in December, which will be your December 9th meeting, which is the last meeting of this calendar year, is potentially an initial rollout of staff's public engagement process for the comprehensive plan. We would like to have an opportunity to present to you some of the thoughts as to what we have identified as a robust, sustained process possibly for engaging the public as we move into the full updating of the plan in 2022. No final decisions will be made. Some great information came out of our bi-state or actually quad-state conference that was held in Texas this week for the state planning agency, as well as the Texas, Kansas, as well as Oklahoma, Arkansas. Chapters came together. So Brad Kelly, our planner, who will be filling in really for Rachel in her absence, as she is on maternity leave, and Bill Canton, our neighborhood communications coordinator, will be spearheading that meeting at the beginning of December. I think you all will find it an interesting discussion as to the ideas that we have identified. Bill has done significant research. I'm impressed. There is a monetary cost associated with what is being proposed, and that is partially why we want to get it before the commission. We want to know what your desire is so we can, as we get into the new calendar year, approach potentially council for an allocation for funding to ensure that we have the appropriate amount of allocation in order to allow us to have sustained public engagement. And there are a number of other things that are actually going on internally as it relates to public engagement and outreach tools that we are having become available to us as staff. So there are some interesting things going on as to how we're trying to do community outreach in light of equity and a variety of other issues that have risen to the top of the table here as 2020 comes to an end. With that, that's all I have. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner McMahon.
You had a question you're about to ask us all. If we had any more questions or comments, you didn't. I move to adjourn.
Seconded by Commissioner Stanton. We are adjourned.